Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. If you turn there this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. His name is Jesse Warden. He's a known software developer. He's known for his work for SoundCloud, even for Android. He's worked with SlideShare, and he's worked for companies such as Disney, NBA, Adobe, IBM, Bell South, AOL, and HBO. Actually, a lot of what you enjoy from the internet and even on your cell phone, he has actually helped made possible. But he made a comment about his work. His comment was this. He said, "Some things that I have learned in my early career that originally helped me succeed, I believe now are hurting me in job interviews." And so he's giving an interview, he's sharing in a statement that, you know, again, some things that he has learned early in his career is now a threat to his career. It hurts his interviews. He went on to say that he had to unlearn, specifically unlearn. In this interview, this article I was reading of him, he had to unlearn some things just to simply survive. You know, this is true when it comes to our faith, church. In life, there are some things that we have picked up in the past. And now, even in Christ, those things can be a potential threat to our relationship with God. We learn things in our sin. Each and every one of us, we have sinned. We have fallen short. We've picked up, I guess I can even say, weird things, strange things, upsetting things. Things like mindsets, how we operate, how we function, our life's framework, our behaviors, but specifically theories and beliefs and how we order our lives. You know, we picked up a lot of this stuff outside of Christ, and that's okay. That's what we do. We are people. We figuring out life. We function. We're learning. But the thing is we picked up much of this stuff outside of biblical understanding. Now, in the will of God, now that you're born again, you're saved, living for God, those things that you have brought in, that I have personally brought in from before Christ, now can be damaging. This is why it's good to come to church. This is why it's good to read your Bible, have a relationship with God. The closer you are to the light, the more the darkness is exposed. God, you know, you go see a doctor, you speak of things, you speak of your health, you speak of how you operate your life. The doctor can hone in, look at things that could be difficult to your health, damage to your health. Amen. And so, in other words, we must learn, in the words of this interviewer, we must learn, again, his name was Jesse Warden, we must learn to unlearn things in our salvation. We got to unlearn, not to give ourselves over to them. And the reason I say this is because we are learning Christ. And to learn Christ, you've got to deal with things that's already in you. You've got to deal with things that you brought in specifically from your sin, amen, picked up from life. And we want to look into this in detail. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. If you read silently along with me, you'll see in the text, amen, where this could benefit us this morning. And so unlearning you is my sermon. Let's listen to this. It says in Ephesians 4, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, and the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Father, we pray this morning that you would minister to your church, minister to your people. Help us, Father. We're grateful to be in your presence, and we thank you for all that's about to transpire and the work you're going to do on this altar. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you real quickly, church, about the unlearning dilemma. The unlearning dilemma. Now, notice what Paul is saying in our text. Actually, I think it'd be best if I read it from the Living Bible. It kind of breaks it down in verse 21. Listen to what he says. He says, if you have really heard his voice, if you've heard Jesus' voice and you have learned from him the truths concerning himself, Jesus, listen to verse 32, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you, that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. Now, listen to Paul. If you have learned Christ, the proof of that is throwing off the old you. He says, if you've learned Christ, if you've learned him, then throw off your sinful nature. Throw off your old nature. Think about this. The act of throwing off, it actually has a lot to say about your faith in God. The act of throwing off. Seeing someone throw off something that is a potential threat to their faith, it tells me, it tells them, it tells God that they are hungry, that they want to live for God, that they're serious about living for God, that they have the goods, amen. They want to do something with their life. They want to give their life to God. They want to live for him. They want to please God. And this isn't simply coming from their lips. It's coming from the act of throwing off their old sinful nature. Listen, you throw off the old life because you have learned of a new life in Christ. You see, unlearning is a part of the learning process, church. We are called to learn Christ and to unlearn the old you. Listen to how John says it. He says in John 3:30, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Listen to those words. He's got to increase. God has to increase in my life. But as for me, I must decrease. Peter puts it like this. 1 Peter 4:1 says, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. He has ceased from sin by dying in the flesh. This is a spiritual term expressing a man's heart, that he is no longer going to be led by his flesh, but instead by the Spirit of the living God. Listen to how Jesus puts it in his own words in Matthew 16:24. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again, I'm giving you testimonies throughout the Word of God from their own life's experience, from their own perspective. And even, listen, Christ himself, he says, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny, you're going to have to throw off, you're going to have to pick up your cross. This is an expression of killing the old self. It's spiritually speaking of your sinful nature. You see, unlearning is describing the act of throwing off self. You know, this Greek term, you know, denying himself. Listen, think about this. This Greek term, I'm probably going to chop it up. I actually printed it out to where I can hopefully say it the right way. But this Greek term, apotothemi, it means to cast off, lay aside, or put away. And it's expressing putting away the part of you that wants to be its old self. And so, if you would for a moment, in Acts 27, think of this. Paul was on a ship. Now, if you know the story, listen, awesome. It's going to relate really well. I'll paraphrase, but you've got to read the chapter. A great chapter. But in Acts 27, don't read it now, obviously, but I'll paraphrase. Paul, he was on a ship, and he was headed to a certain destination. We know that he was headed to Rome, going to stand before Caesar. We knew of his destiny, everything that was taking place. But he was on this ship, and he was headed to a certain destination. Now, along the way, they hit a storm, a really, really bad storm. And to survive from this storm, they came to the conclusion that they had to throw things off the ship. So you read of this. When you read Acts 27, you read of this, all this taking place. And so this storm, it's, you know, they needed to go with the waves. They needed to go with the flow of the waves, the way the storm is going to take them, not to go against it. They came to the conclusion, we need to be lighter. So they started throwing things overboard. They threw out their food. They cut lifeboats. You name it. They started, getting rid of excess weight. And they did this specifically to survive the storm. Acts 27:19, it says, on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Again, I'm paraphrasing, giving you a piece of the story. But think about it for a second. We're talking about throwing off, laying aside. Throwing off helped them to get where they needed to go. It helped them survive the storm. To get where God wants us to go in our faith, to survive the storms of our specific lives. Listen, there's going to need to be a practice to where you throw things off. You know, my father was a major alcoholic, most of my childhood. That's all I know. That's all I know. My father, major alcoholic. There would be times he would come to the conclusion, this alcohol, it's destroying my life. It's destroying my family. He's caught me many times as a child. I was probably 9, 10 years old when I started doing it. I would sneak in the fridge and I would take his beers and I would pour them out. And I would fill them up with water. And the reason I would fill them up with water and put them back is because in my mind, I was thinking, there's going to be something there and maybe he'd be too drunk to know. But I didn't want to get beat. See, my father was very, very abusive. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't want to get beat, but I need to help my dad. I need to save my mom. I need to save my family because, you know, when my father was drunk, it's brutal. My whole family paid for it. So I would pour out his beers and put water in them. And he caught me doing this, and you can imagine what happened. But I want to tell you, I was trying to throw off something. I was trying to get rid of something, the thing that was hurting us, the thing that was destroying my dad, the thing that was destroying my family. I can't tell you, church, how many times I have worked with people. I can see specifically if it's not alcohol, if it's not drugs, if it's not the addictive relationships, these relationships outside of Christ. I would see things in the people that I'm trying to help. And I see that these are the things that are destroying them. You've been there. You've perhaps dealt with this. You've dealt with family. You've dealt with friends and coworkers, and you're trying to help them. And they have something that's destructive in their life. And you're just trying to lean them toward the fact that if you got to get rid of this. You got to throw this out of your life. You need to get beyond this. This is going to hurt you. This is going to destroy you. I used to be an addict. I've had people set me down. I used to be homeless. People would tell me, you know, this is going to kill you. This is going to, you know, this is going to destroy your life. You're already, amen, lost so much before you even 20 years old. You're not even an adult yet. This is what they would tell me. And you have nothing to show for it. You live in the streets. You're on the run again and again. What are you going to do with your life? You need to deal with this. You see, church, throwing off, it will help you live for God. Amen. You see, we also see this in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12:1. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You're running a race in your Christian life, and you're running to Jesus. But to do that effectively and efficiently, you got to throw off some weight. Listen, our faith is similar to runners that run. If you think about it, if you ever look into it, runners are always doing something to lay aside any weight. They wear clothing that's breathable, that's lightweight. They wear shoes that weigh nothing. I mean, anything that you can change, amen, or put on that would make it easier and lighter and effective to run through air. You know, you don't want something that captures wind when you're running and the air is pushing you back. There's so much that goes into running, amen, professionally. But it's more than just, listen, we're talking more than just physically. We're talking spiritually this morning. We're talking mentally this morning. You see, there's a moment of decision, such as I expressed about my father. There will be times the old you wants to live. There will be times the old you wants to come out. And this is where I want to ask you, what do you do? How do you respond? You get bitter. You hate. You run away. You're abusive. You're aggressive. You want to hide the fact that, you know, this is wrong. You want to hide the sin that's hurting you. While at the same time, we should be throwing it away. We're trying to protect it and cover it and hide it so we can get away with it. But it's destroying us. And it's something that we need to throw away in our life. When you get bitter, when you start to hate, when you start to be aggressive and the old you wants to come out, you want to sin, you want to jump in, dive right into it. Listen, I'm a preacher, but I'm human. I feel what you feel. You feel what I feel. We all live in the same Knoxville, Tennessee. We have a human nature. And yes, we will blow it sometimes. We will fail. We will make miserable, horrible mistakes. But sin doesn't have to have dominion. It doesn't have to have victory over your personal life. It doesn't have to dictate who you are. You can make a choice. You can, listen, you can make a decision to unlearn what you have given yourself to in your sin. You don't have to fall victim to it. Unlearning is the act of learning to respond like a Christian and not like who you used to be. Secondly, I want to talk to you about the will to unlearn. You know, putting away the old involves overcoming two areas in your life. I want you to listen to this. The first area is overcoming the devil. That's right, the devil. Think about this. Hell does not want you to forget. Have you ever wondered why hell reminds you of your past? You're trying to live for God. Old thoughts pop up. Insecurities. You see, hell doesn't want you to forget the old you. Hell wants you to stay. Hell wants to keep you behind a cell. Hell wants to, you know, put you behind this wall where there's no escape and you're always going to stay the same. You're never going to change. You know, this is an interesting scripture I came across. I've read it actually many times. And it just hit home. It just stuck out to me. I want you to listen to this. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Listen to what it says. It says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray. Your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now, this is Paul, and he's speaking to the church, but listen to what he's saying. I've read this before, and it didn't stick out to me like this before. A revelation came when I read this. Paul is saying, you're living for God. You're living for, you're a Christian, you're born again, Holy Ghost filled, you're living for God. But he says, I'm concerned about this serpent in your life. I'm concerned about how he even deceived Eve. He deceived Eve, and he done this by, listen, leading your thoughts astray. You know, that wordplay, that terminology, you know, your thoughts will be led astray. Think about that. You see, all the devil has to do to keep you living in the past is get you to believe it. He reminds you and reminds you and reminds you. You've always been like this. You've done this how many times? This is just the way it is. It's not that bad. It hurts a little, but you'll get over it and you're going to do it again. It's fun sometimes. You know, and here's the devil. He keeps on tempting you. He keeps on putting this on your plate, putting this in your mind. And he's reminding you. He's leading your thoughts astray. He's leading them away from God into another direction. Listen, it takes faith to unlearn the old you. When you cast off temptation, you are believing God that you can change. You can. You are trusting God to help you overcome bitterness, hate, fear, even your sin. You're trusting God. I believe in supernatural conversion. I believe a man can not only be forgiven of his sins, but he can supernaturally, by God's help, change. I used to pastor in Las Vegas, and I cannot tell you how many times I have sat across from prostitutes that make $10,000 in a day or two. And they made a choice. They made a choice. I can right now name you names in my mind. People I've worked with. And they have made a choice to stop hooking, to stop prostituting. And they have death threats. They have pimps. That's a real world situation. And they have to move, change their names. I've helped them. I have been with them in this situation. Me and my wife, the church, we came together many times. And here they are. They take a minimum wage job making a little over $8 an hour. They're used to making tens of thousands of dollars. And they're doing everything possible to throw off this sinful lifestyle. It takes faith. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not up here tooting some kind of spiritual horn. Listen, I have to make the same choices you have to make. They're just as hard. What I brought into this, see, man, listen, it might look a little different. What I brought into church, it might look a little different, be a little different, but it's the same sin that you brought in. The same sinful nature that hung, that nailed Christ to a cross, murdered our Lord and our Savior. The same sin that was involved. Listen, sin is sin. And again, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that all you got to do is just make a decision and bam, everything's good. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is when you do make a decision to live for God, when you do make a decision to unlearn the old you, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take, amen, some hard work. And friend, let me tell you, through experience, it's worth fighting for. Amen. It's worth believing God for. Today, I'm not bound by addiction. I'm not homeless under the bridge. I'm not running from greyhound to greyhound. Friend, I want to tell you, amen, I'm not broken and in depression. I'm not pouring out any more alcohol, amen, to save my father. Friend, I want to tell you the choices and decisions that I have personally made, and this is just me. Listen, they are, I can't even put it in right words. It's so worth it to experience the victory over that part of you that wants to see you suffer. That part of you that wants to see you drown and be in a grave and die. And I'm talking about this could be depression. This could be, you know, your sinful nature, your addictive personality. It could be anything. And what I'm trying to say is I'm pointing it to the very things that are pulling you away from God, pulling you away from the things of God. Listen, I want to tell you, friend, there is hope in Christ Jesus. I not only believe that God will forgive you, but I believe that God can change you, even your personality, even your heart, even your mind. Listen, He can change your present. He can change your future. Listen, He can even change, amen, your eternal destiny. We're going to heaven, amen, in Christ. And I want to tell you, amen, there is hope in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. You are trusting God to help you overcome hate, bitterness, and sin. You know, I'm giving the devil a lot of talk, but really, the one you got to overcome is you. Have you ever said no to yourself? Pastor, did you just cuss? No. Pastor, what are you saying? No to me? What? To myself? You crazy. Have you ever said no to yourself? You see, the old you wants control, seeks to operate. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That old you that wants you to click on that mouse on a website you shouldn't go to. That old you that wants to share your heart with someone you know you shouldn't, or walk away from the church, or walk away from reading your Bible, or whatever it is that's pulling you away from the things of God. The old you wants control. And let me say, saying no is easier said than done. You will feel the pull. You'll feel temptation, pull on your flesh. If there is no fight, you're going to give in. Unlearning can be twice as hard as learning. You know, I used to try to play golf. I said the word try. You know, people asked me to go golfing. My pastor's a big golfer. Have people in my church ask me to go golfing with them. I just don't get it. I guess I'm the only guy on the planet that when I swing one direction, the ball goes in the opposite. I don't know. But golfing, they say to take lessons and learn the right way when you do it. And the reason why is because you pick up bad habits if you don't. And once you learn these habits and you adopt them into your swing, you adopt them into your golf game, they're very hard. They're extremely hard to break because now you've become dependent upon them. Golfers have to unlearn a bad habit, remind themselves what not to do when they're doing something they should do. You see, we have to do this every day. You've got to make a choice. Listen, I can't allow my old sinful nature to live. I personally want the heart that wants to live for God to live. not my sinful nature. I want to close and talk to you about becoming new, because this is the promise, church. You know what the promise is? I want you to think about this. What is the promise of all this? Why fight your flesh? Why say no to sin? Because the promise is renewal. The promise is hope, it's peace, it's love, joy, forgiveness, and I can go on. But it's renewal. That God will make us new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, Jesus' death and resurrection is what made this promise possible. Listen to this. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has freed us from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. So what Romans 6 is expressing, it's actually a reference to water baptism. When you're getting water baptized and you're going under the water, what's happening is spiritually, you're actually digging a hole in the ground and you're burying your old self. And so when you come out of the water, listen, it's like you've been resurrected out of the ground, like Jesus, likeness of Christ. You're dying to sin, your sinful nature. And when you come out of the water, it's like you've been resurrected. He was resurrected on the third day in newness of life. Now, spiritually, what this means for you and me is that, listen, sin does not have to be a dictator in your life. Amen. You don't have to be a puppet on a string. You don't have to be dominated by your sinful nature. You can actually, listen, you can actually put on Christ. That's what the scripture said. You put off the old you and put on Christ. When you put on Christ, you have a strength, a supernatural ability now to say no to things that you at one time could not say no to. Try, because you can. You can now overcome sin. You don't have to be a puppet on a string. You don't have to be dictated. You don't have to be held, you know, in bondage. You can have victory. You can overcome sin. I'm talking about your sinful nature, that part of you that wants to control you. You don't have to be controlled by your appetite for sin any longer. In Christ, you have, listen, become new. And you have given, God has given you His Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is the only way for us to even do this. If it wasn't with God's help, we would never fight sin. We will always give in to it. And how do I know that? Because that's what we've always done before Christ ever came into our hearts. Mm-hmm. It's what we do. We're sinners. We made the choice. God didn't make us sinners. He gave us a free will. It's our sinful nature that we took upon and adopted into our life, even from a child. You ever notice, you don't have to teach a child how to do bad. Oh, okay, I got to teach you how to do bad. Run across the street real quick. Car coming. Hurry. No, you don't do that, right? You're always teaching a kid not to do bad, right? Listen, you're teaching them how not to do something wrong. You're teaching them good. That's what you're teaching them. You're always teaching the good ways. You don't teach them the bad ways. You teach them the good ways. You teach them not to touch a burning stove and not to run out in the street, you know. But the point is, it's our nature. We have adopted a sinful nature. It's a spiritual curse. Unless you handle it with Christ involved, you will never handle it. It will handle you. And so you've got to understand, you don't have to continue saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, master to your sin. No. You can actually say no. You can say no. You are no longer a slave to sin. Slaves do not say no. They say, yes, Master. So when your old self speaks, how do you respond? What do you say? Because you can say no. Dying to self, what it does, and I close, it allows Christ to live. Verse 24, put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Becoming new is something God made available, but you must put it on. Put off the old, put on the new. This is why we have discipleship in our churches. That's a lost art in church today, by the way. Today it's about the glitz and glamour, long worship, you know, and very short preaching, and no sin talk, you know. You know, everybody wants to pat you on the back and say life's grand, you know. But that's not what biblical preaching is. Biblical preaching is you're coming to church to get face to face with God. Not people from the church, not the pastor, not. No, you're coming to do business with God. You're here because you want, listen, to get closer to God. That's why you're here. And the closer you're getting to God, I want to tell you something, you're going to feel uncomfortable. If you go to church and you don't feel uncomfortable, I would worry. I would. If the preaching doesn't get under your skin, if God doesn't convict you in your chair, if God doesn't lay hold of your heart and says, you need to change, or I can help you change, or this, God can do, you know, I can do a work in your heart if you just do this, if you obey me and say no to this. If you don't feel God deal with you, listen, I would worry. I would run as fast as I can to a church that does preach. I would run as fast as I can to an altar and say, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. You know the story in the New Testament. You get the beggar and you get the Pharisee. They both come to an altar. One is saying, oh, God, I am so glad that I am so holy. That I am, man, I look good serving God. I got the biggest Bible. I give all this money. Oh man, my prayer life, everybody sees it on the street corner. Man, they wish they could pray like me. But this guy over here is like, God, I'm a mess. How can I even be in your presence? God, have mercy. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I close. Church. Unlearning. The act of throwing off, crucifying your sinful nature, your flesh. This is the key for your new life in Christ. You're struggling, you're wondering why, and it's because you're trying to carry something with you that you would never were intended to carry. You're trying to keep something with you that God didn't want you to keep. You're trying to, such as a golf swing, depend upon a certain practice that's going to cripple your game. And I'm talking about living for God. Living for God, you're going to have to make a choice. I feel God dealing with people right now. You're going to have to make a choice. God does that with people. God brings you to a choice. That's what preaching's all about. Preaching gives you an ultimatum. That's what good biblical preaching does. Preaching brings you to a decision. It brings you to a decision to where you do business with God. God wants, He desires, and His plan, it's for you to have victory over sin. Dominion over sin. Not for sin to have dominion over you. He wants you to have victory. To be Christ-like. Every head bowed. What we're going to do is we're going to do something actually very special. We're going to have what we call an altar call. Now, if you're on the live stream, I just want to say, you need to repent of your sins and accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you haven't done that, you definitely need to do that. But just maybe for those here this morning present, you know in your heart you're not right with God. You know in your heart that you're not who you should be or where you should be with God. And that's because of your sin. I'm not asking if you're religious. I'm not asking if you own a Bible, if you attend a church. I'm not asking any of those things. What I'm specifically asking is, do you need forgiveness for sin that you have allowed to entertain in your life? Are you born again right with God? You can only know that because right now God dealing with you, He's motioning you to make a choice. And friend, if this is you, I want to tell you, God loves you. Died and rose again. He overcomes sin. He overcame sin and still overcomes it. And He wants you to do the same. He doesn't want sin to overcome you. That's been happening. This is destroying your life. But right now, God is dealing with you. He wants to give you the victory. And you do this by inviting Christ into your life. This is you right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to lift your hand toward heaven.